Joining me for Between the Sheets today is someone who knows exactly what it's like to find love in one of the most famous villas in the world. Connor Phillips stepped into the Love Island villa and not only found himself at the centre of the action, but also met Megan Forte-Clark, and the pair have gone on to become one of Ireland's favourite Love Island couples. Since leaving the villa, life has changed massively for Connor and Megan. They're now splitting their time between Ireland and London, building careers, taking on new opportunities, and navigating life in the public eye. Connor, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. First off, how are you getting on? Life obviously looks very different for you now compared to when you first walked into the Love Island villa. What's it been like since leaving the show?
Yeah, well, I'm not running into people for a living anymore, so that's always a bonus. But it's been nuts. It's been nuts. I think every month, every week, every day, it just looks completely different. Which is also like really cool, but can sometimes, like, you know, you're struggling to find a bit of structure, but you just have to embrace the madness. I have a beautiful girlfriend now. I have a beautiful home in London. I've met loads of cool new people, and I'm continuing to do so. So taking it all in my stride, trying to find my way, make it up as I go along, really. But it's been good.
I'm so glad you mentioned structure there, because obviously you've gone from being a professional athlete to now moving into this lifestyle. Even in the Love Island villa itself, was it hard to adjust in the villa and post villa kind of to that lack of structure? I imagine it's very different than what you were used to before.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know who I was saying it to earlier, but I was actually speaking to someone today and speaking about this. And from the age of about 14, 15, I think 9 months in advance had been planned out for me by the hour, where I was going to be, what I was going to wear, what I was going to eat. So now, yeah, I think in the villa I was fine because I'm used to going on tour with big groups, with big teams and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So I kind of thrive in like a group environment away from home. It was kind of second nature to me. Now coming out of the villa, just having no structure and, like, you know, everyone saying, oh, just enjoy it. But like, gets to stage and we're like, okay, I've enjoyed it and I'm enjoying it probably a bit too much and I need to start eating healthy again and going to the gym again. So, yeah, that's the thing. You're basically, you're your own boss, like any freelancer or anything like that, you know what I mean? Or even like I used to do a bit of online coaching before and, you know, I was like my own boss. And yeah, I'm probably someone that needs a bit of structure. I like to relax, I like to kick the feet up. So I think, just trying to stay disciplined, hammering that note up every night before I go to sleep and to-do lists and what I need to do the next day and stuff like that. But I really enjoy it. I love what I'm doing now. So you have to take the good with the maybe not so good.
It's the power of perspective and hindsight. And I'm glad to hear that somebody else can sometimes find it hard to be their own boss, because I have had instances like this in the past and it's like you do kind of just want someone to tell you what to do and when to do it and have it planned out.
Yeah.
So the notes app definitely comes in handy for sure. Now yeah. That you've moved on past Love Island and you're looking back kind of on your own journey and comparing it to probably naturally enough what's going on in there at the minute, you were in the villa from day one until day 51 and you made the headlines at the time for setting the show's record for the most couplings in a single season. You probably relate quite a bit to Priya and Aidan, particularly Aidan this time around.
Yeah.
Because they've both been on quite a ride in there. Aidan really has made his way through pretty much everybody. What's it like when you can't find that match straight away?
I literally was watching with Megan there and I said, like, I actually, maybe not in characteristics, but in terms of journey, like I see a lot of my journey and Aidan's journey. You go in there like everyone else, hoping that you're going to find the girl of your dreams. Luckily I did. But some people aren't that lucky and it didn't look like it was going to work out like that for a big part of my journey. So it's tough because people will always say, oh, you're playing a game. You want 50K, you want to win. Well, firstly, it's a competition. So even if you were thinking like that, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it wasn't the way I'm thinking. It wasn't the way I was thinking. And I don't think it's the way Aidan's thinking. I think it's like you're in there and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You're surrounded by beautiful people. If it doesn't work out with someone, which it didn't with me plenty of times, didn't with Aidan, you look to your left or right and see who's there and see, okay, look, maybe we can start talking and maybe we might have something. You know what I mean? And that's all it is. It's not a ploy to stay in there because you need to remember that, like, these people don't know who's popular and who's not popular. When you're in there, you're actually just moving on how you feel. Like in my example, Was it like Megan and Shakira and stuff like that? They're quite loud and they're quite opinionated and they're not afraid to say how they feel. But for all I know, like, people could have hated that on the outside, you know what I mean? But you just you can't think about that. You just have to think about the moment and in there and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think it's not nice because I did spend plenty of nights around the fire pit with one or two of the boys who are in the same position as me, and they're watching everyone else have their chats and have their all lovey-dovey in the full Love Island experience, and they can't wait to get to bed and stuff like that. And you're kind of in there being like, how am I in the Love Island villa? And I'm sitting with the single lads, like, how has it came to this? But it's not the best feeling. But honestly, yeah, you just have to, like, especially in there, it's like with people you normally wouldn't speak to, or you wouldn't give the time of day, or maybe like be naturally drawn to. Like, you just, it happened to me on numerous occasions where I was just like, you know what? Like, I would never really go for this type of girl on the outside, but leave me talk to them. And then you get pleasantly surprised. Yeah. So it might look like you didn't look at them for the first couple of weeks, the first few days when you're in there. And then you start speaking to them and then you switch up and you're like, oh, I do kind of like her. On the outside, it might look like you're maybe doing something like playing a game or whatever, but that could be the instance.
Also, what else are you supposed to do when you're in there? Like, there's no point being like, oh, well, you know, I'll just head off home. You may as well. I can see why people are like, we may as well give it a go and see what happens. And also for you, you were right to stick it out because now you've ended up with the lovely Megan and you guys are still together. Yeah. What has been the key to making the relationship work on the outside? Because so many people condemn the couples to come out of Love Island. They're like, oh, they're not going to last. But you guys are an exception. You guys have lasted.
Yeah. A lot of hard work. No, I'm joking. It's more so, I think we both, we're both Irish. So naturally we just had that same, as much as we're very similar to the British, we're a million miles apart in a lot of ways as well. And I think it's just the banter, the vibe, like everything like that. And we just obviously had the same. So naturally it just made things easier. We're both from like humble beginnings, so we're not like thinking we expect this or this needs to be done for us, or oh, look at us now, like we're just like this every time we do something new or like really cool, we're just like this is mad. So we both have that like similar mindset, and yeah, I suppose just when you like each other, you make it work, you know. I think we were living with each other after like 3 months or so. No, that wasn't the thing where it was like, oh my God, I love you so much. We should live together. It was more so I wanted to move to London. She was living in Brighton. She wanted to move to London. So we thought, look, it probably is a bit early, but it makes the most sense. So yeah, I think just being as normal as possible, you know, if I'm getting ahead of myself, like she'll tell me. If she's getting ahead of herself, I'll tell her. And yeah, that's it really. It can get tough sometimes though, when, you know, everyone has an opinion on your relationship, or, you know, even if you're flying, people are like, oh, like I haven't seen them post together, like there must be problems, or even the opposite. Like, you know, you could be just having normal couple arguments or whatever, but then from social media, it looks like you're a couple of days away from being married. So it's just dealing with all those other opinions can be a bit intense sometimes. But again, look, it's part and parcel of what we're doing and we're both loving what we're doing. So, you know, we're going to have to take those negative things with the positives.
We've been rooting a lot for Fitzy this season. He's obviously come out now and he's with Lola. He has had a similar journey to you in that he did couple up with someone that he seems to be insanely fond of and in love with, by all accounts. When you saw all the unnecessary hate that was going their way, perhaps, what was your reaction to that? And what would you say to people who think it's okay to comment their opinions and their hate on people they only know online?
Yeah, well, firstly, what I'll say is, like, sort of my opinion on Fitzy and Lola is, like, yeah, like, you like what you said, they genuinely seem like they like each other, they love each other and whatnot. So my advice to them would be to just not listen to any of that, you know what I mean? Like, what, like, you're not doing it for other people, like, you're in this sort of situation or relationship, whatever, for yourselves. So just care about that, really. And because, like, it's not going to stop. It's like, you know, it'll die down, but like, I still get messages being like, oh my God, I'm just after rewatching episode 4, minute 5, second 37, whatever. Why did you do this? You know what I mean? Like, people, it's not going to stop. You just get used to it and it does die down a bit. So they just need to just, narrow focus, you know, like channel what, put their energy into things that matter. You know, and there's a lot of things that happen, like post-filler, and a lot of pressures, there's a lot of decisions you got to make or whatever. And if you're stressing about user 7843 commenting, oh, this, like, you're just going to get caught up in it. So now it's easier said than done, because we're all human beings and we're all nosy and we all get affected by things, whatever. But yeah, that's it really. But yeah, Fitzy definitely had a different journey to me in there.
Yeah, he was okay from day one. He coupled up with Lola. Yeah. So, you know, it's mad to see how different things can happen in there.
I thought he would have seen me and said, okay, this is the blueprint. leave me do this. But no, he did his own thing and whatever. And like, the hate that they're getting, the one thing I do respect and admire about them is that, like, they aren't hiding themselves away. They're not like making themselves smaller or whatever. You know, they seem to be out there. They're putting their face out there. They're giving their opinions. They're showing their personalities and basically giving middle finger to all the haters. So power to them.
Maybe that's all you can do in those situations. So interesting to get your perspective on that, because even what you mentioned there about how you still get opinions from people, even
But not everyone watches it when it comes out. Like, some people actually only start watch. I'll get a text like last week being like, oh, just after finishing your season. Because, like, you know the way sometimes you might sit down and be like, oh, I'll rewatch like one of the first episodes of first seasons of Love Island. So people do that. Mm-hmm. So people are continuously watching it. So yeah, it doesn't really ever stop. But yeah, you just got to not really care about it.
Do you think people go into the villa purely looking for love? Or do you think that the opportunities that have now been clearly coming from being in the villa are a bigger part of the deal? I know even in last night's episode, a lot of accusations of Priya being a game player, this and that. But is it just that even if someone was to be playing the game in there, not saying she is, not saying anyone is that such a surprise? Are we all kind of, do you know when people say, oh, I'm in here and I'm looking for love? Are you also looking for the brand deal? Do you know what I mean? And that's okay. You're allowed to.
Like, I've seen a lot of people come out and say, oh, Priya, like, she's a big fan of the show and whatever. People need to actually stop, because if you're going on to the show, there's no way anyone is going on to that show having no idea what the show is about. Mm. Everyone is a fan to some degree. You know what I mean? So I think that's a bit unfair to say to her. What I will say is, now, I'm not trying to sound like I'm St. Patrick here or anything like that, but I genuinely did not go out. Like, I loved my life beforehand. Like, I was playing rugby. I lived with my friends. I was living in Dublin. Like, I'm from Limerick, but I was living in Dublin. I was living out. So when the opportunity came about, I was genuinely like, I knew I'd get a bit of attention and it could be cool opportunities post-filler. But my sole reason was literally, this would be good crack.
Yeah.
Like I knew Greg beforehand. He seemed to be having fun afterwards. So I was like, you know what? It's not a negative. I couldn't really be. No, there's big scope for it to be a negative, but I trusted myself that I wasn't going to make a fool of myself. But in saying that, they are 100% people who go on more career driven than love driven. And what I will say is, I think in there, I was a bit, like, I could notice it. Like, it's not that hard to see, but in there, it's normally the people who are piping up every 2 seconds because, you know, you're going to get a bit of screen time, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I just didn't have that in me. But what I will say is, like, in there, I got a bit annoyed at that. On reflection, I actually wouldn't be annoyed, like, at anyone for going into that show for whatever reason, because you don't know what people are coming from. People might really, really hate their life, or like really just think that they're destined for bigger and better things and see this as a springboard to get them there. And who am I to say that because I went in there for the crack, that's a better reason than that? Or some people go in there for love. Who are they? I know it's called Love Island, but like, you know, who are you to say that that's better than going in for the crack or whatever? So everyone has their ulterior motives. And I think people get hung up on it, obviously, because they're getting a financial advantage and probably social advantage, like if they do well on the show and whatever. But yeah, I genuinely think everyone has ulterior motives. I don't think not many people in there would probably have the same motives for going in there. But that's probably what makes the show interesting.
It is what makes the show interesting. And before I let you go, Connor, my final question for you: who would you like to see win on Monday night?
I am, like, I might get a bit of stick for this. I'm a massive, massive Aiden fan. If he could win alone, I think that's it. He's just good entertainment. I don't think he's getting a lot of stick, like, well, last night from Priya saying he's nasty, malicious. Like, I think it doesn't take someone who has two working eyes to be able to see that he is not malicious or nasty. He's can be a bit stupid sometimes in what he does. But yeah, he's probably not going to win himself. I actually don't know, to be honest. It's tough. I was saying it, Elliot and Finley. And then that kind of went south.
didn't it? To say the least.
Yeah. So in terms of who I want to win, probably Angie and Simba, just because they're probably the two least, like, they just seem to be enjoying themselves, having fun, whatever. And or Tommy and Yasmin seem quite cool as well. They just chill or whatever. The rest of them I could see problems for, but yeah, look, we'll have to wait and see. Fingers crossed that doesn't happen, but yeah.
Well, we're going to have a very busy couple of days nonetheless in the lead up to the final. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Connor. Where can we find you on socials if people want to follow along with your journey and what you're getting up to?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram. It's CPEEZY. So it's CPEEZY. And then across on TikTok, CPHREEZY. So CPHOREEZY. Yeah, that's it, I think, anyway. Hopefully I got that right. It's one or the other, anyway.
Was CPEEZY taken as a TikTok handle?
Yeah. It was. So I just said, you know what, I'll add the H because it's the same as Phillips, so it doesn't look too bad.
There we go. Look, thank you so much for joining me on the show, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
You too. Thanks for having me.